Winners win north of 10, 64 in Kenosha, 63 in Racine. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next. And we welcome you to the Friday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I am very happy to have with me, first of all, a faculty colleague from Carthage College, Matthew Hoagland, who actually is the department chair, and also, more to the point today, director of Carthage's production of the dazzling musical Xanadu, which opens this weekend and runs this weekend and the following weekend. And this weekend's performances, of course, are laid on top of all kinds of festivities in terms of Carthage's homecoming celebration. And with Professor Hoagland today, two students who are headlining the cast of Xanadu: Ella Begfield, who is a junior musical theater and political science major, and John Rasmussen, who is a junior musical theater major and a business administration minor. And they have two of the lead roles in this colorful and fun show. And we'll be talking with them and hearing excerpts from several of the songs that are part of this cast. Matthew Hoagland, Ella Bergfield, John Rasmussen, we welcome all three of you to the morning show.
Thanks for having us.
Hello, thank hello.
Glad to have you here. Matthew, maybe right off the bat, because it is Carthage Homecoming, there is more going on than these three performances of Xanadu. And as department chair, you're in a good position to talk about tomorrow night's homecoming concert and part of the fun that is part of that.
Yeah, well, on top of our three shows of Xanadu this weekend, tonight, 7:30, tomorrow, 3 o'clock, Saturday, and then Sunday at 3 o'clock as well. We also have at 7:30 on Saturday evening our homecoming concert, which is featuring our Carthage Choir, our Carthage Philharmonic, and an alumni choir. And John and Ella are both involved in Carthage Choir as well, so they have a very busy weekend ahead of them of performing and singing and making wonderful music. So we're very excited about all of the things that will happen on campus this weekend.
Fantastic. And because I want to be sure not to forget, I wanted to give you an opportunity as well to talk about a couple of really exciting, prestigious awards that were just earned by Carthage's theater department.
Yeah. So our musical theater program is interdisciplinary. So we go between the music and the theater department. So we work intimately together. We teach the students about collaboration. We teach each other as faculty and adjuncts and anyone we bring in also about collaboration. And we're really honored that the theater was given two awards by the KCACTF, which is the Kennedy Center American Collegiate Theater Festival. And so they were given two awards for that. One of them recognizes Professor Martin McClendon's Verbatim Theater Project. He was given a Citizen Artist Award recognizing his work for that. If you're unfamiliar with Verbatim Theater, it is essentially, think of it as a qualitative study on the human experience and then put into a play. And it is a beautiful experience, and Martin McClendon leads that with such passion. And then also we have a new play initiative, which we are in its 17th year coming up now. And we also, they won a Fifth Citizen Award and then a award for company collaboration and dramaturgy for what we did last year, which was called the Genderless Play Experiment. So we're very honored by the KCACTF and for what our theater department is able to put out.
That's terrific. And actually, Morning Show listeners might know something about the Verbatim Project of Martin McClendon, because he's been on, I think, four or five times by now talking about various projects in which they gather essentially the real-life testimony of real people around a particular topic or concern, and then it's put together into a theatrical experience. And you're right, it's exceptionally special and important, and it's great to see them recognized in this way.
Yeah.
So, Professor Hoagland, tell us about your choice to kick off the musical theater season of this school year with the show Xanadu. What drew you to it?
You know, it's been so long, I don't remember, to be honest. Here's what I remember. And this is sort of how I work with our theater department to choose our shows. We look at the students we have, we look at their needs, and we look at also the needs of our season and how we can best fit that. So Xanadu seemed to be the right choice for us for right now. And based on how it was cast, I would agree that it was indeed the right choice for us. Like, wanted to have fun. I wanted to have a show that would draw audiences from various ages and something that people are familiar with. So even if you don't know Xanadu, you've at least seen the iconic image of Olivia Newton-John with her windblown hair. So that was part of it. And I wanted an experience for our students to go in a little bit heavier dance direction. I wanted it to be a little bit more hands-on, and you know, they're skating in the show, so they had to learn more athletic elements than they ever thought they could. And we also wanted to try a new approach to this, which was, what would happen if I gave everyone the score and everyone the libretto and everyone a pair of skates over the summer, and we would come back and press play on day one of rehearsal and see what happens. So it was an interesting experiment for all of us, and I think we all sort of came to it different ways. And you know, sort of setting a professional expectation. What happens when you get cast in a show? They send you the script and say, hi, here's rehearsal on day one. And then we have 2 weeks to put up a show. Now, we did not take 2 weeks to put up the show. We took way longer, but we took 4 weeks. But I also wanted to sort of give them a sense of a professional, pre-professional experience of what it is like if I don't take all of your free time. What is it if we just do this in small chunks so that you still can have a life outside of rehearsal and things that would happen in the professional world? Mm. So how do you balance all of these things and keep going? So
just so I understand correctly, so yeah. You expected them to show up this fall essentially with their music learned on
yeah.
their own.
Music learned on their own. They are all getting music degrees. So and they're all majors. So we don't always cast all majors. This just happened. They all had to learn their own vocal parts. Some did better than others, and that is fine. We all come to this differently. And they all had to learn their lines, had to have them memorized and ready. And then the only thing we had to start teaching was then the choreo and staging.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a unique experiment, and I know how to do it differently for next time.
Hmm. So you'd never done this before?
No, okay. No, especially at Carthage. I just set the expectation, here's all of the videos you need to watch, here's all of the movies, here's all of the background data you need to see to know why this show exists and do your research as an actor, and then come in the summer. So they came 3 or 4 days before school started, and then we went right into it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to get to the students, but I think it's important to just have you lay the groundwork in
sure.
terms of this iconic 1980 film
mm-hmm.
and then its ultimate transformation into a stage musical. So take us back first to 1980, so 44 years ago, well before either of our students, Ella or John, were born, maybe before their parents were even born, I don't know. But take us back to 1980 and that film.
Yeah. So the Xanadu film itself is, I would say, a cult classic, right? Some people may not agree with that, and that is fine. Essentially, it was built as a star vehicle for Olivia Newton-John. After Grease was made, they needed something to keep her sort of going in the limelight. And so they created Xanadu. And so here is this movie that is simply just a star vehicle. If you look at how also then the stage adaptation is written, it is also essentially written as a star vehicle, meaning that the main character is literally on stage for most of the show. And it's done without an intermission. So it is just straight through. An hour and 24 minutes. I think Ella leaves the stage a total of maybe 5 minutes of those hour and 20-somethings. she's got a lot of quick changes and a lot of things that sort of showcase all of that. But back to the movie. The absurdity of it is what makes it great. And the stage adaptation just embraces that.
Mm.
And as a director, I couldn't try to make it. Our fabulous lighting designer, Julie, had a request for me. And she's like, please make Have I Never Been Mellow. Please make that like as genuine as possible. And when you listen to it and watch it, which is based off of Clash of the Titans, you can't exactly be authentic and sincere with that. You just have to lean into the camp. And so I feel like our production and I feel like the students did a really great job of just leaning into the camp of it all and really going just almost tipping over the edge of just absurd.
So the stage adaptation, in a sense, did the same thing. I mean, the stage adaptation did not try to take this sort of infamous movie and make it better.
No.
It tried to just put it on the stage.
Yeah. Ella's character, Clio Kira at that time, has a wonderful sort of monologue at the end talking about like, well, I will take this and I will take this absurd movie and then music from jukeboxes and I will put it together and it will be great and lovely and sort of like makes fun of itself the whole time. Mm. There's also many little nuggets in there for musical theater lovers that I think the writers, and then I added a couple things because I just had to, but I think the writers just sort of leaned into it. And so you just can't help but love it and just embrace the absurdity of it the whole time.
Very good. I'm curious, Ella and John, what either of you knew about Xanadu before hearing that this was going to be the fall production. Ella, let's start with you.
Okay. There is a bootleg on YouTube of the original Broadway production. And me and my little sister, like literally a year earlier before it was announced, found the bootleg and watched it together. And we were like, this is so iconic and silly. And it is now our favorite thing ever. So I had like heard of it, but only like seen that bootleg and listened to the recording on and off a little bit. So that's really all I knew about it before.
So you'd not seen the movie, and have you yet seen the movie?
I have seen the movie. It was on our list of summer assignments from Matthew. So we had to watch Xanadu and Clash of the Titans. Xanadu, wow, what an interesting movie. Same thing with Clash of the Titans.
I quite agree. How about you, John? What was your awareness of Xanadu before auditioning for and ultimately being cast in this production?
I didn't really know too much about it. I grew up in like a house that like kind of embraced a little bit more of like a classical movie or a classical like music kind of feel. So I was familiar with it, and I've seen, like, after you see the movie, you notice all the references in other aspects of like, or other shows or other movies that just either poke fun at it or just use little quips from it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Seeing the movie, wow, I was really sitting there. I mean, like, but that's nobody's fault. It seemed like it was just like, it's like, ooh, look, it's Olivia Newton-John. That's about it. Like,
in terms of what the movie has going for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I watched a few videos and documentaries like on why the movie didn't do great and like a bunch of different people's takes on it. For instance, like the costume design and for the music and the staging of it all. Like, I believe Olivia Newton-John, I believe she... what was it? No. It wasn't. It was the Broadway performance or the what's her name? Carrie Butler. She broke her leg when doing the recording, right?
Was that? I think so.
Or was that? God. Or was it?
Don't put that out there.
No, she did, and I don't know. It just the commitment to it was awesome. I don't know. A lot of people breaking legs because then the original Sonny Malone in the Broadway performance broke his leg, and that's where Cheyenne Jackson came in to take the role. That's wow. Right. Yeah, it's crazy.
So you entered this with some trepidation, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. But uneasy.
But so far, everybody is fully intact. For those of you just joining us, we are talking on today's morning show about Carthage College's production of the musical Xanadu. And we have with us Professor Matthew Hoagland, who is the director of this production, and joining us as well, two students who headline the cast, Ella Bergfield and John Rasmussen, both junior music theater majors. Ella in the role of, how do we say her name?
Clio. Kira.
Okay. And John is Sonny Malone, is that?
Yeah. Right. Right.
We haven't yet even touched on the story. Professor Hoagland, do you want to at least get us rolling in terms of summarizing the plot of Xanadu, as it is?
Let's go with the plot loosely here. I mean, honestly, you know, boy meets girl, girl meets boy, girl decides to help boy live his best fantasy because she is, in fact, a muse. She is a demigod, and she has come down to Los Angeles in the year 1980 to help this struggling artist see that he can create his, what's the line, John, your
apex of all the arts.
There we go. Your apex of all the arts, which is a roller disco. As that probably was the apex of the arts in 1980. I was not born yet, but I'm assuming. And then, you know, she's got a couple sisters who want to throw a wrench into all of the plans. And then in the end, she finds out and realizes that she actually did fall in love with him and that they do complete one another. And then we all live happily ever after in the land of Xanadu. And yes, we do all roller skate at the end.
Well, how special is that? Why don't you explain to our listeners, in case they don't know, what this intriguing name of Xanadu specifically refers to?
Oh, sure. Well, you would be better at that than I am.
Yeah. Okay. Xanadu is basically the concept of like creating art and like loving another person. They don't ever really define it, but that's like the closest definition to Xanadu that I could give you. It's just like having a good time, I suppose.
Yeah. One might also say, as when you know, Charlie XCX has famously said, a brat summer, right? I think Xanadu sort of falls under the same lines. That is a very current reference for our audience.
Interesting. All right. A less current reference would be the summer palace of Kublai Khan, I mean, centuries ago. But, of course, that's very literally what Xanadu is. What you're talking about is like the Elysium fields of artistry and genius mm-hmm. and fulfillment and all of that. Mm-hmm. And that's this sort of state of being to which people aspire. So first of all, let's hear a little bit from this score. And then we're going to talk a little more specifically about the story and mm-hmm. your two characters in particular. How about if we hear just a little bit of the song I'm Alive? And
yes.
John, is this something that you end up singing? Is that right?
No.
Oh.
Not in this one. Okay. This is, my mural is just not right, and I looks like I give up, and this is the song that follows.
And this follows that.
Mm-hmm.
And who sings it?
I do, and like me and my sisters do.
And this is different from the Electric Light Orchestra recording from the movie, right? So that was, like, if you're talking from a musical aspect, what is fascinating to me, if you listen to the OG album versus the Broadway, the tempi are completely different. The voicings are completely different. Mm-hmm. And nearly everything is probably, like, 6 to 8 metronome clicks faster. Like, it's quite fascinating, like, it makes sense why the movie didn't work and the Broadway show does, because it clips along in a way the movie doesn't. The movie like luxuriates in things that it doesn't need to. And then the Broadway said, well, let's get everyone out in 90 minutes or less. And so I think there's a really interesting juxtaposition. So those of our listeners here who know these songs intimately, when they hear the Broadway recordings, they're like, well, that's not quite what I remember hearing. And
from
that's
the
why.
Movie.
Yeah, from the movie. When they hear the Broadway versions, they are faster and a different
louder.
Voicing. And louder, much louder.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see, you know, like people who will like know the songs and like want to sing along, but they're different.
Yeah, exactly. That's great to know. I had very much the same experience as I was pulling cuts this morning. And I should mention, I've seen Xanadu once on stage because my nephew was in a community theater production of it.
Fun.
So in a extremely small little space. And so it's not going to be anything like what's going to be splashed on the stage of Wartburg Auditorium. But anyway, so I do have some acquaintance with it. But as I was listening to excerpts from the film, and I was saying, boy, this is kind of a slog, musically speaking, which is not what I expected. And then turned to the Broadway recording, and oh, my gosh, it had amazing energy and pizzazz. So anyway, so here's a little of the song I'm Alive from the musical Xanadu.
What the hell? Guys like me shouldn't dream anyway.
So a little bit of the song I'm Alive from early in the musical Xanadu. I almost said Act One, but it's one act, done again without interruption. So Professor Hoagland, I think it's safe to say that most of this music comes out of the world of disco.
Yes.
And certainly from that era. Did something in particular draw you to that in terms of something you wanted to have your musical theater students singing? Or is there... Are there things about disco, which of course is often maligned, that you think are really worth exploring and devoting this kind of energy to?
I gotta say, it's really personal for me. I love disco music. If I have a choice to put music on in the background, it's gonna be a Studio 54 playlist. Studio 54 is fascinating to me. That era of New York, that era of time is fascinating. That like 1974 to like 1980 is a fascinating time to me. There was so much actual art being created and culture and all of this, and to me, I just live in that, and so I wanted, selfishly, I wanted that. plus, I love anything that is mirrored or disco-balled, and everything is disco-balled in this show. And so I just, for me, it was really a personal thing, and I just wanted it, and then this was sort of the vehicle that took us into that direction. It is important to them too that they learn in the industry. You have to learn how to audition for a type of show with specific music. So, for example, all of these jukebox musicals, which this is considered a jukebox musical, which does mean that they are taking songs that have been played on the radio or produced elsewhere and thrown it onto a stage and created something. The most recent example of that would be and Juliet on Broadway right now, which currently does that famously. But for me, I wanted an opportunity for the students to figure out, how do I audition with pop rock music? How do I audition with something? How do I go and research what was the music of 1979, 1980 when this was being created? What is that music? What can I audition with that will show the directing team, oh, I want to be considered for this role. So it starts, you know, so far back for me in the like litany of how do we continue to teach our students professional standards. And so that was, it was many reasons why this all got chosen.
Yeah, very good. So I'm curious to hear from Ella and John about your embrace of disco music, and is this also in a sense your introduction to it? I mean, is this the first time to any significant degree that you've been singing this particular style of music? Ella?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I didn't grow up listening to disco music because that is not what was popular when I was growing up. So yeah, this is definitely my first introduction to disco music. And I just love how fun it is. It's so upbeat, and it I mean, not everything they're singing about is upbeat, obviously, but I just love the idea that, like, no matter what's going on in your life, like, no matter what you have going on outside of listening to this music, like, you're going to come home and listen to, like, just something fun. And I've added a lot of songs to my playlists over the summer, listening to disco music and practicing roller skating, so it's been really fun.
Yeah, there certainly is a positivity about a lot of disco music, even when the topic is not necessarily happy, although certainly that's most of the time. Upbeat things are explored. How about you, John? What's it been like for you to, I assume, explore disco music for the first time?
I've always been a little bit familiar with it, just because of my family's liking towards older music. But the song that I chose to do for an audition was Take On Me, which I felt like was a little bit of a stretch, because it's hard to fit it. I thought it would be hard to make a story of it, at least like approaching it at first, but really a big thing I learned with disco music is there you need to like look and read the lyrics by itself. There is a story there. When you look at it or just listening to it, you don't really hear a story, but really diving into it and learning maybe what this band is or what the music comes from, there's so much more depth that I would have never been able to appreciate unless I tried and learned this.
Very good.
Yeah.
So one thing I don't think we've yet touched on is this whole Greek mythology backdrop to the story. Ella, explain that aspect of the way in which this story is told.
Yeah, so Xanadu is originally based off of Clash of the Titans, which is sort of a 1980s-ish rendering of a Greek mythology story. So that's where I think the whole Greek mythology thing originated. But for the importance of the musical, I think that the story is just like so ridiculous that it has to be like otherworldly. So and I guess that just keeps linking to Olivia Newton-John's like star power, like making her, shooting her off into the cosmos of fame. So I think I think the muses are important to the story because it is just so, it's honestly so ridiculous that the only way that it would be possible is if the beings creating the story were like not real.
Right.
So, yeah.
So explain a little more who exactly they are, who you are and who your sisters are, maybe more to the point who your father is.
Sure.
And how you get drawn into the life of Sunny.
Yeah. So the muses are daughters of Zeus. There are originally 9 muses in Greek mythology. Our show only has 7. So because in the original Broadway production, the other 2 muses were members of the pit. But we don't have a pit for this show. Mm-hmm. So we only have 7 muses. My character is like the leader of the muses, and the other 6 muses each have their own like artistic designation. Like there's a muse of dance, there's a muse of tragedy. And so we all kind of form together into this like artistic pact, so we can help humans on Earth uncover their, I guess, inner artist. So mm-hmm. that's... like our point in the show is we find Sunny, who is a destitute artist, and we're like, we're gonna help you. So that's kind of the whole muse thing.
And John, remind our listeners about why you find yourself in a destitute state. I mean, what is Sunny struggling with as the show begins?
You know, there's a lot of complexity and depth when it comes to just introductions. I mean, Sunny at his core is a deep and loving and like just creative soul, you know what I mean, with no bounds. But in real terms, he was painting a mural and he didn't really like it. That's about it. And he almost jumps off.
He was so frustrated with his, I guess, lack of success. I mean,
so
is he played as not a good artist or just as a talented artist who's just not found success for some reason?
I think he's very talented. I think it's the point of it is like he has all this aspiration, but he doesn't have like a line to follow or like an idea of what he wants. He wants something. He wants something big, and he wants to do it, but he's not exactly happy with how he does it or with what he has.
Yeah. So we're going to listen to a little bit of the song called Magic. So, Ella, tell us about where this figures in the story.
Yeah, so this is the 2nd song of the show, and this is when Kira introduces herself to Sunny as an Australian woman on roller skates who has come down to help him in his quest to achieve great artistic achievements.
As people do.
Yes, of course. So this is like Sunny's first interaction with Kira, and the whole song is sort of me conjuring all of these ideas for his next great artistic achievement, which is a roller disco.
There you go. All right, so here's a bit of the song called Magic from the musical Xanadu.
Come take my hand, you should know.
Bit of the song Magic from the musical Xanadu. For those of you just joining us, we have in our studio today Professor Matthew Hoagland, who is the director of the production of Xanadu that opens tonight at Carthage College in Wartburg Auditorium. With us as well, 2 students who are in the cast, Ella Bergfield and John Rasmussen. And Xanadu is being performed at Carthage this weekend, which is homecoming weekend, and next weekend as well. Professor Hoagland, you mentioned the fact that you were drawn to the idea of maybe scheduling a show that was going to tilt a bit towards dance. Mm. So, first of all, any particular reason? Is Carthage blessed to have a whole lot of wonderful dancers at the moment? I mean, is that what that's about, at least in part?
Yes, and it's really important to me that we are training artists who can go out and be usable and can be hireable in many different aspects. I came up through a program where they were very clear on, we are training you to be leads, and we know that you will come up through ensembles, which means you have to be able to move. So if it's good enough for New York University, it's good enough for Carthage College. So in collaboration with our choreographer, Danny Duane Wells, sort of came up with the concept of how much dance we needed for the show, what we wanted it to look like, and then he and his colleague Joshua put that onto the actors early on in the rehearsal process, and then it's of course evolved and changed as everything does throughout. But I really wanted to showcase different styles of dance. I think that this musical does that really well. So there's even tapping in this, which no one would assume that there is tapping in Xanadu, but all of a sudden there is. And that was because of Gene Kelly in the original movie, because they wanted him to also have an opportunity to dance, of course, because why not? So the role of Danny, which is played by a sophomore Dom, is essentially sort of this character that Sonny comes to because he built the original Xanadu, because Clio came back down to Los Angeles 40 years before that and helped him build the Xanadu. So we get to sort of see this younger version of Kira throughout the whole production. So there's a lovely sort of dance element to this. Giving all of the styles, having all of the having all of those attributes is important not only for a production but also for our students to learn how to do. So I think we've done a really great job of that, and I'm proud of them. And also it helps, we do have good movers and good solid dancers, and this is a great opportunity to showcase that.
Great. So there's this roller skating thing that's also a part of this show and part of this production. So first of all, can you explain why there's skating in this show? I mean, why is it there?
I can sure try. I don't know. I think that the roller skating is just another, just lean into the fact that this is ridiculous. I think the roller skating is just supposed to make my character just seem more otherworldly, or at least that's how I interpret it.
Out of the ordinary.
Yes, exactly. Like, she's obviously not a normal human being moving through the world, like, because who wears roller skates for the whole show?
Right.
So, yeah, I am on roller skates literally for the entirety of the show, except for the tap number.
That would be quite a challenge.
That would be very challenging. So we all had to put in a lot of work over the summer to learn how to roller skate. I had not really had hardly any roller skating experience beforehand. In junior high, though, we did get to go on effort and conduct field trips to the roller rink. So that was my prior roller skating experience. So it was really fun to learn a completely new skill. And now I'd say I'm pretty intermediate. So.
Wow.
I mean, and you skate for 90% of the show.
Yes.
And we love that now because that's a special skill that she can put on her resume.
Oh.
And a casting director can go, oh, good, she can roller skate. At John Rollerblades, right? Like, we have other people in the cast who have some experience, you know, or like Vivian, for example, hockey player from Minnesota. So all of a sudden, the translation into roller skating is not that difficult for her. Mm. Meanwhile, we have others who, this is a really hard skill. Like, and so we just have everyone skates at their own ability, and we all free skate at the end, and it's really lovely, and you get to sort of see everyone just enjoy themselves.
Wow. So, John, are you also on roller skates in this show?
Yes, I am. I start with roller skates about 15 minutes in for about 10 minutes, and then I come back with roller skates at the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you take to roller skating decent? Well, I guess Was Professor Hoagland saying you're a rollerblader, which is very closely related? Or?
I've skateboarded for a little bit in the past, and I roller skated like a couple years when I was younger because my father used to work at a roller rink, and he did the artwork for it, Trackside in Burlington. But yeah, then we got the opportunity to just go and skate, and I had a lot of fun with it as a kid. Learned a lot of stuff and fell a lot. Yeah.
There's a lot of falling.
Yeah,
so,
lots.
So, Professor Hoagland, aren't roller skates noisy? I mean,
No, shockingly.
Very.
I'm very shocked.
Me too. There are a couple moments where you hear, like, especially if there's no like underscoring. So there's a couple moments where, excuse me, Ella sort of skates around and you hear her. But other than that, the one moment. But other than that, no. And thankfully, we have a wonderful graduate program at Carthage, and I have two of my grad assistants who are doing the sound for me for this production, and they have done a wonderful job of masking all of the sounds. It's just really fun.
Great.
Like, if nothing else, come to see everyone roller skate.
Yeah. And I'm just relieved to hear that the sound of their singing won't be drowned out by the roar of all these wheels on the floor. That's
surprising.
Great.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear something from the song Dancin'.
Yeah.
Where does this fall in the show?
Yeah, so this is right in the middle of the show. This is when me as a muse, I stay young forever. Muses don't age. So this is not the first, Sunny is not the first man who I've come to help as an artist. So this is when two people that I have inspired in their life come together and meet each other. So the two conflicting styles in the 80s when I, like, the current time period, and then in like the 1930s-ish, come together in this song.
Wow.
This is also one of the first mashups, sort of, as we're looking at it. So we're getting like a 40s Andrew Sister vibe against a 80s like rock, like right on that precipice, right at the end of disco when it starts to turn. So this is the first sort of mashup that you're getting of these two genres in a way that wasn't happening with house music at the time. So this is sort of a really interesting juxtaposition, and our lighting designer did a great job, as the movie does, of smashing the stages together.
Fantastic. Here's a bit of Dancin'.
I can see it now. Concerts in this theater. Classy stuff. Swing music and three girls singing in tight, tight harmony.
Anybody move? Anybody need someone to? Anyone feeling cold? No one there you can hold. You'll wait till you're old and gray.
No, that kind of music went out with running boards. I'm talking about electric guitars. Rock and roll, man, this is the 80s.
Love what I want to let you know. I won't take a back seat. Ain't willing to let you go. I won't take a back seat. Don't want to hear what you want. It's got to be all my way. And I'll make a choice to see. Oh!
Oh, I hate to pop that down. Yeah, the great song Dancin' from Xanadu. And we have
said about four people in the world.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great, great song. So, and a great, great show. So, you are about to open tonight. Ella, are you ready?
Of course.
What's the journey been like? Briefly, I'm afraid.
Well, it's been super fun. I mean, of course, like, starting from square one with the whole roller skating thing was definitely very intimidating. And some of the music is just, like, really difficult. But I think I've risen to the occasion, and it's been super fun.
So glad to hear it. How about you, John?
Lots of fun. Yeah, I'm loving. I don't know. This character is a lot of fun for me. I enjoy it. a lot. There's a lot of depth that you can actually dig out of him for some reason, which is weird. At least to help you understand the character, it's really cool. Yeah. I really like it.
Great. Well, I know a lot of people are very excited to experience Xanadu, and particularly in a production that sounds like it is colorful and full of energy and fun and life. So, Professor Hoagland, remind our listeners of when exactly performances of Xanadu are occurring.
Yeah, so tonight, Friday night, 7:30. Tomorrow and Sunday, because of homecoming, are both at 3 p.m. And then next weekend, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all at 7:30 in the Wartburg Theater, which is in the David Straz Center.
And if people are interested in getting tickets, what do they do?
They can get tickets at www.carthage.edu/tickets. And for the listeners of your show today, we have a special free ticket code. If you put in FreeSkate in the promo code box, you will get your tickets comped. So we hope to see you there.
Very good. So FreeSkate is the promo code to get you a free ticket to see Carthage's production of Xanadu. Fantastic. We're finishing out the hour with the song All Over the World from this show. And with it, we bid farewell to Matthew Hoagland, the director of this production, and to Ella Birkfield and John Rasmussen, both in the cast for Xanadu opening tonight. We hope you have a wonderful two weekends of performances, and thank you for being part of the morning show today here on WGTD.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. All Over the World from the musical Xanadu, opening tonight at Carthage College. And again, to receive a free ticket, go to Carthage's website and use for the promo code FREESKATE. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. Morning clouds are going to give way to sunshine this afternoon with a high of 73 degrees, clear overnight with a low of 53 degrees. Tomorrow, Saturday, sunny, breezy, and a high of 75 degrees. Very similar forecast for Sunday. Monday actually will be a little cooler, both Monday and Tuesday, under mostly sunny skies. Our daytime highs will be only in the upper 60s. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.